Hello and welcome to Rent Party, the WYXR Rent Party. I'm your host, Bill Dearson, and I'm joined with my co-host, Shelby McCall.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Shelby. How are you? Today, we're featuring the music of Mr. Greg Cartwright. Hey, Greg.
Hey, how's it going, Bill? Hey, Shelby.
Hey, Greg. How's it going?
Doing good.
Hey.
Good to see you guys. It's first time in the Rent Party for me.
Yes, it is. Thank you for being here. We love you.
Oh, man, I love you guys.
Spread the love.
Spread the love, y'all.
Spread the love.
And we got Jerry and Lulu in the house, too. Hey, y'all.
I got a little studio audience. That's pretty cool.
Yes. And it's just Greg, his guitar, and his voice today, the basic threefer. So we're going to have a mixture of music and conversation and fun here at the Rent Party today. So we're just going to get right into it. What do you say, Greg?
That sounds great.
All right. We're going to change some mics here and dive right in.
Sounds good.
Stand by.
This first song I'm going to start off with is a new song, and it's called I Tore My Whole World Down. Perhaps someday, when the memory of this is all far away, you face the sun and you know I was the one. The one who told a lie that no one should believe. I made you cry, that's when you said I should leave. We had our fun, but it never lasted. Guess I was the one who tore my whole world down. Can't complain if you find love again. I'm the one who must learn to take another turn. I looked a fool for all the world to see. It has a way of always catching up to me. We had fun, but it never lasted. Guess I was the one who tore my whole world down, down, all the way down, down, down. I didn't hurt nobody else. We had our fun, but it never lasted. Guess I was the one who tore my whole world down. Tore it down. I tore it down.
Thank you.
I went through a thing a couple months ago 6-7 months back, where I was really into writing songs about kind of with ideas of overlapping realities, like multiple realities and stuff. And so this is like a, in some ways, like a very much the classic structure of a blues song. But then the woman in the song is not a song that he knew in his childhood or his teens or anything that he's thinking about. It's a woman whose life is overlapping with his, and that he's her and she's him. Time will end like a rolling stone through a string of days with a fate so long and hungering just to be alone. But a past life woman came into his mind. Looking for a train or a telephone. Somewhere in the night stood a happy home where he could have been all along. But then a past life woman came into his mind. She's on a parallel reality. She might be loving someone else, but she could be me. She might be me. The very start, there's the beating of a hidden heart, and he's wondering, yes, he's wondering if it leaves a mark. When a past life woman comes into his mind. Right. It's called Past Life Woman. And I really appreciate you guys asking me to come do the show today. I got some new songs, and so it's a fun opportunity to play some new stuff. This is a song that I wrote with my friend Krista Roten, who played with me in Raining Sound and is also working on another project that I'm working on called Hypos, with Scott McMicken, who was in Dr. Dog and just had a solo record come out too. But we've been working on some songs together. Krista came up from Memphis and played some violin on some of it, and she and I had written the song together, and we cut a version of it too. So I hope to be able to release the version with me and Krista singing on this thing. But anyway, it's called Heartbroke Town. Coming home to a heartbroken town where the seeds have all been sown. Everybody wants to mend your wounds, but they're tending to their own. I was standing in a crowded room, counting each and every breath. We were doing what we always do, yeah, we were doing it to death. Everybody's got to cry some. Got a heart, it weighs 2 tons. Said a prayer for my only son and the curse of a loaded gun. Rolling into Minneapolis, another troubled river town. Where the Mississippi frozen its tracks and shadows all around. Razor wire skirts an empty shell, and they know they've been betrayed. Some are gone and some are hanging on to the promises we made. Everybody's gotta cry some, got a heart that weighs 2 tons. Said a prayer for my only son and the curse of a loaded gun. You can hit the safety and you can melt them down, but you can't take back what they've done to my heartbroken town. It's a heartbroken town. It's my home. It's a heartbroken town. Everybody's gotta cry some, got a heart it weighs 2 tons. Said a prayer for everyone and I cursed the loaded gun. Yes, I curse a loaded gun.
Thank you. This is an older song.
It's from a record I did with Raining Sound called Love and Curses, which that phrase, Love and Curses, there was a TV show host here in town, and that was his... That was his tagline, Love and Curses. There we go. This silver thread that the morning sun shines through. We've trapped ourselves in the web we've spun. We're two, and it's true. That is through. So go and find yourself something to hold on to. The lesson of the flame, which children learn. You're grown, but still you walk around. Fingers burned, and it's true that it's through. So go and find yourself something to hold on to. It ain't forgiven that you need, it's just the way you're living that's killing you. Yes, it's true. Killing me too.
Thank you so much. This next song is called Shine.
Yeah. Yes, she comes, book in her hand. Gonna try some small talk if I can, 'cause I've been saving my best lines for when her eyes meet mine. And don't they shine? Yes, they shine. You know they shine. I was laughing with you and your friends, Becky and Marianne. Tried to read your palm just so I could touch your hand. They say this one is your love line, but when your eyes meet mine, now don't they shine? Yes, they shine. That might be nothing, but maybe it's a sign. And if there's a chance, you know I'm gonna make you mine. Outside, maybe see if you still need a ride, 'cause you don't live that far from me. Maybe we could spend some time together, just you and me together. Spend some time together, just you and me.
One, two, three, four, five. I'm gonna do one more song,
okay,
and then we'll
chat.
Can do some talking. What time is it?
It's 2:18.
Perfect.
3:18.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, one more song. This one.
I didn't get that.
Some fools are for fighting, some fools are for play.
Let me start that again. This is kind of new. Let's see.
Some fools are for fighting, some fools are for play. But who knows why someone made them that way? Just like you said, that fools never get paid. But if you write a check, I'll give you my heart, and I'll put it in writing, sweetheart. My mind loves a puzzle, and my hands like to help. Who knows? Together we may find ourselves. But I'm not wasting my time putting notches on a belt. If you want to promise to give you my heart, I'll put it in writing, sweetheart. Sweetheart. If you want to promise, I'll give you my heart, and I'll put it in writing, sweetheart. with a diamond ring to seal the deal, sweetheart. I'll give you everything and more, sweetheart.
All right. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you very much for having me, Bill and Shelby. Sure. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a treat to hear you play.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's always a treat.
It's a treat to do it.
And those are mainly new songs, huh?
Those are mostly new songs. I think there was maybe one or two older things, but that was mostly new stuff.
Well, sounds fabulous.
Hey, thank
you
very
you for
much.
Sharing.
Yeah. No, as I, like I say, I write these songs to play to people, and this is like an awesome opportunity on the radio, play live and like kind of work out my new songs and find the melodies. It's like you discover things about a song in this setting that you won't when you get on stage with a band, because everything gets loud and
yeah, sure.
Dynamics, they don't disappear. They just turn into a different thing.
Well, you know, for people who don't know, I don't know who doesn't know Greg Cartwright. We all know Greg Cartwright, but for people who don't know Greg Cartwright, Greg, give us a snapshot history, maybe starting back way back in Fraser, Tennessee.
That's where I grew up, and went to school out there, and then last couple of years of high school, my parents moved to Bartlett. I wasn't there for very long because that was right about the time I was moving out and, went and started living in apartments with friends and very questionable work opportunities and everybody's playing music or know someone who plays music. And through that, I met Jack Yarber, who had moved here from Corinth, Mississippi. And he and I almost immediately became partners. Mm-hmm. And we just really hit it off. And then it was just like, you know, several bands and many years later, we're still good buddies. And I love playing with that guy. But that was that was the beginning of my musical life, really, when I met Jack. Because up until that point, I had been imitating things that I heard on records and things that I saw other people do.
Mm.
And I met Jack and we started jamming and we were doing covers. We were doing like Stooges covers and stuff.
Yeah.
And, he was like, let's try this one. It's only two chords. We do it. And I just remember hearing it, thinking, man, whoever he's copying here, I got to get this record because this is great. And like the voice is so unique and weird. And then I realized it's like he wrote that. That's his song. And that's how his voice. And I thought, man, I got to figure out how to do that. I have to find my voice. So it was like meeting him was very inspirational to me.
And so has guitar always been your first instrument?
It is. I only really know enough of any instrument to accompany myself and write songs. But so I can play a little bit of piano. I can play a little bit of drums. I can play. I've even played drums on records, but I'm not very good at it. But I do enjoy it.
Drums are fun, man.
They're very fun.
Yes, I play drums and I have a lot of fun. But that's for another show.
We have fun watching you play drums.
Thank you, man. Shout out to Turnt. So I remember seeing photos of you playing drums at Antenna Club on the stage way, way back.
Yeah, that was probably either in 68 Comeback or Early Oblivions stuff, because that was actually my first drum gig. I had played a little bit just with me and Jack making four-track recordings and stuff. But the first time I ever played in front of an audience was Jeff Evans had a band called 68 Comeback,
right,
which was kind of an all-star crew of rock and rollers, and in that was also Peggy O'Neill, who was the drummer for the Gorries.
Oh yeah.
And she quit like right before the tour started. And Jeff asked me to play, and the thing was I was such a total fan of the Gorries that the drumming style was like imitated her, which I already loved. And so that was kind of the beginning of me being able to play drums. So when we came home from that little tour, we made a record. And that was really fun. That was the first time I ever played drums on a record. But then also, that's what allowed the Oblivions to happen. Uh-huh. Because Jack already played drums. I wasn't really a very good drummer. But now, we could just have that one other element, Eric, to play kind of a bass kind of guitar style. then that meant, like, if Jack was singing, I could play drums. Or if I was singing, Jack could play drums.
So cool.
So that dynamic of, like, having to fill in for Peggy, really, which I thanked her for that many years later when I saw her.
And like, she's playing with them again?
The Gorries. Yeah, the Gorries are playing again.
And they're playing Gonerfest.
Yes, they are.
Here in Memphis.
And it's going to be incredible.
End of September.
They're at the top of their game. I mean, there's not many bands you can say that about where it's like 30 years after the fact they're doing it, it's like top of their game. They are annihilating. And her drum style is so cool. It's what the kind of drum style that I like. It's like Mo Tucker and a lot of like more kind of like no cymbals.
Yes.
Definitely no hi-hats.
Yeah.
And I'm not opposed to those things.
Sure.
But just as like a very kind of thunderous, percussive thing that's with like lots of scrapey guitars that are also kind of percussive. Like
right.
It just works to become this giant machine.
Yes.
It's so cool. Like, yeah, it's her style. It's along with like Mo Tucker and stuff. Very, that kind of style of drumming is very inspirational for my style.
Sure,
when
sure.
When I play drums.
And you hear people like Dave Grohl, who was a drummer, and he says his approach to guitar is like his approach to drums. It's
isn't
very percussive.
Yes.
Yeah. So we were talking about the songwriting process. We wanted to nerd out.
Nerd out. Pick your brain a little bit.
Well, how does it start? Does it just bubble up out of unconsciousness? Do you have a tune that just, you know, starts looping? Do you start like consciously? Take us through the process.
Yeah. The thing I've learned is that there isn't any process. Not for me, at least. I can't speak for other people. But things just come as they come. You may get, you know, you may have a great idea for a lyric and write down a couple of pages of really great stuff that seems to be built around a theme and not know what to do with it and just put it away. Mm. And then come up with a melody 6 months or a year later or like a chord progression that you're really into. And you're like, I just can't get started with this, and kind of go back through what you wrote down, find some things that start to line up, then you might do a lot of editing and changing. Yeah. Like, it could be that workmanlike, or it can be this flash where it just spills right out of you, which is a wonderful feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little spooky, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is that thing where and I wouldn't even say like one's better than the other, but that thing where it spills right out of you has a special quality that it's really strange, where it's like, just by, if you catch it that way, then you can replicate that kind of cathartic moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really interesting thing.
Sure.
It's kind of like a Catholic mass or something. It's like you'll never have that ecstatic experience again, but you can recreate it faithfully every time. You know, like.
Yeah, I guess when the music's good, it will take you straight out of your body, right?
Totally, totally.
Transport it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you have like a lot of like creative themes with your songs, and I just... me nerding out a little bit. I just want to know more about like your thought process on like thinking of like the theme that you want to write when you're writing your songs.
That's a great question. And sometimes it's just something I've been ruminating on, some knot I'm trying to untie in my head. And
right.
there is some line of inquiry that is so hard to get to in that logical way where you can't ever unwind it. But if you try to come at it with art, you can you can loosen everything up a little bit.
Right.
And I think that is the thing. Like, so that is to say that I rarely ever think like, okay, I need something to write a song about. What's it going to be? Mostly it's just that there is something I've been thinking about, and I'm trying to find a way to express it, not even to other people, but to myself. In a way, so that I can understand it.
Sort of like a self-exploration, sort of.
Totally.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wanted to talk to you quickly about Memphis and Asheville.
Mm-hmm.
Both places are going off musically right now, and you're ping-ponging back and forth. What's your take on the music scene in Memphis and Asheville? Can you contrast them? Can you compare them?
Yeah, they're very different. It's interesting. I moved to Asheville about 20 years ago, and originally from Memphis, moved there. And there, the music scene at that time was mostly bluegrass and old-time music, And there was a bit of a scene for some jam band type stuff. But there wasn't much of a rock scene. And there wasn't a lot of like, just, it was a little, it was just a little, everything about itself felt real safe in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, that has like changed a lot. Like not long after I got there, it seemed like things were, a lot of people were moving. People were moving in, some people were leaving. Like definitely the city became more diverse over time. And it's in an amazing zenith of that right now, I think.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of cool stuff going on and it's a lot more diverse than it was.
Mm.
But coming back to Memphis, like I'm just struck how amazing Memphis is, how it just keeps regenerating amazing art. And it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. I know that on some level it's tied to some multi-generational trauma and stuff too. There's like great art comes out of, you know, sometimes it's something really beautiful and sometimes it's something really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And so Memphis has this underdog quality that I've always kind of identified with since I was a kid, especially like there's that rivalry between like Memphis and Nashville.
Right.
You know, it's just like we're the underdog and we're but also there was that thing where in the 80s when I first started playing in clubs and stuff, nobody was making it. There was no band that was about to be signed like REM in Athens or somewhere like that. There were a couple things. There was what was the band that had the song about Elvis?
Stumped me.
I can't remember.
But that's a lot of bands.
That's a lot of bands. That's such a major label move. It's like, you guys are from Memphis? Great, we'll sign you and you'll do a song about Elvis. I can't remember who that was. But I just remember thinking like, yeah, there's so little chance of getting signed or doing anything commercially viable in Memphis that it kind of allows you to do whatever you want to do.
Yes.
Which is a really wonderful thing. No expectation, no bar to hit.
Right.
There's no local it band where it's like everybody tries to start sounding like them so that they can get whatever attention they got. And then that creates this kind of homogenized thing. It was the cool thing about Memphis and the whole scene with the antenna and everything. It's like, everybody's just doing whatever.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to keep their 10 friends entertained so that Mark will keep letting them play. Right? You know, it's like, it is that thing where, yeah, it really is about you trying to entertain your friends rather than you trying to build a career or a brand or something. It's you're just trying to keep all your friends entertained. That's about it.
Well, Memphis does seem to have this great quality of raw potential, and it's a ferment, and it's like everybody is not trying to impress everybody else, but they allow for everybody else to experiment and take risks. And like you say, the expectation is kind of low. So you're like, I got nothing to lose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you can make the best art, you know, because then you're not trying to conform to anything. There's no financial reward to do so.
But now the kind of strange side of that is you have an artist like Mono Neon from Memphis.
Yeah.
He sells out large halls all around the world. He plays Memphis at the Crosstown Arts, and his friends and family are the only ones who are there. Like, come on, Memphis, you know, you can't be that, you know,
yes.
What's the word?
Gotta show the love, right?
You gotta show the love.
I think one thing is, though, like being Memphis, it's always been, you know, since I was a kid, it's like there's a lot of economic depression going on here.
Yes.
And so for that reason, I always felt like people who were going to go to the show didn't have the money to drink at the bar, even with beer busts and stuff where it was so cheap to drink.
Yeah.
But people would buy alcohol and they would basically tailgate at someone's house until the latest possible time. And which is also why the shows start so late here.
Right.
Because everybody would get whatever they were going to drink. They go to somebody's house. Everybody's partying over there. It gets a little out of hand the next thing you know. And then everybody shows up like to the gig an hour later than it was supposed to start. But the band isn't going to start because they've been talking to those people at the party. And they're saying, hold off. We're on our way.
Right, right.
So the next thing you know, like, shows in Memphis start at 2 o'clock in the morning.
We've seen the phenomenon of Porch Fest happening here in Memphis for the past 2 or 3 years. And they have like 100 different acts happening in the afternoon in Midtown Memphis. So if that's any idea of what's happening here, I feel like there's a musical renaissance happening here. What would you say?
I think there is. Like, there's more great music happening now than any other time I've been alive. Mm-hmm. And it just seems to be everywhere. And there's so much overlap with the different scenes and stuff. It wasn't like that as much
right.
in the 80s and the 90s, I didn't feel like. So now, like, just seeing all this music going on, like, it's really inspiring for me as you know, same for you. Like, we're older. We've done our times in clubs and stuff, and we're still going to be in clubs. But it's that thing when you see young people coming up behind you, just so inspired by music and art and wanting to get out there and do it. Yeah, like, it makes you want to do everything that you can do to foster whatever scene is going on.
Just tell the kids to get on out there, get out and play, right, kids?
Yeah, right. Get out there and play, you know, play shows, but also, you know, make art, you know, like.
Make art.
And because if you're making art, you're going to learn how to communicate with other people. It seems like right now, it's like, especially young people, even older people, everybody's spending so much time online. I sound like a totally old man here. But it is that thing.
It's okay.
Like, you're going to meet people, like, you can. It's a wonderful tool to meet people in the kind of cyber reality. But, like, really finding your tribe up close is a really beautiful thing, you know. And that's one thing that music can do, provide a mixer situation for just that kind of mingling and people, like, communicating and having a good time.
Yeah, I think when music is really working, it's like a magic trick.
It really is.
And it can be spellbinding, you know, and the audience feels transported in almost religious sense.
Totally.
You know, like going to church or something. It's the new church for me anyway is going to a
Well, you guys got a nice little church situation happening over there with Turn.
Oh, yeah, every Sunday, every other Sunday afternoon. Come on down, y'all. Be
it's
saved.
It's on Sunday, that's right.
It's on Sunday.
It works for me.
Yeah, Jerry in the house.
I'm into it.
Greg, fans of Turn, thank you guys. Speaking of which, and before we get back into music, Mr. Jimmy Inc. has hit me up. He requested a couple songs. I know you don't take requests, but I'm going to throw them out there anyway. He's like, how about I'll Be Your Man? Or how about, let's see, what else we got here? Bound to Let Me Down? I don't know. He said he needs a good cry.
He needs a good cry.
That's Jimmy.
Jimmy, I love you, Jimmy. What a good guy.
So we're going to get back into music.
Most people won't admit they need a good cry. Thanks, Jimmy.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to rearrange the mics here. Hang on.
This song is called Debris. Here we go. The only time you think of me now is when you're in between and all alone. Hold on one sec.
Take two.
Hold on. Let me sing the other one. Now come back to Debris, actually.
Sure.
Like, this one's called She's the Boss. I helped her with the words. She helped me to read the signs. Nearly killing me in jest. Half a dozen times, you may not pass her time if you don't know what you're saying. Any clown can do that.
Am I leaving? Some am I staying? But she's the boss all the way back home. The first time that I saw it, she put her fist to my chest. That was just a confirmation that she liked me the best. Well, you may not pass her time if you don't know what you're saying. Any clown can do that. Some are leaving, some are staying, but she's the boss all the way. Handled all the money, but she always let me drive. We agreed to disagree, and it kept us both alive. Yep. Think of her, I don't think of calamity. Still the road without her, that ain't no place I wanna be. You may not pass her time if you don't know what you're saying. Any clown can do that. Some are leaving, some are staying, but she's the boss all the way back home, all the way back home, all the way back home.
All right, thanks, y'all.
Time you think of me now, it's when you're in between and all alone. With your heart on your shelf, you must be pleased with yourself, slowly turning into stone. Is there another lover there in your room? Does he know about me? Can there really be any doubt that from here on out, this debris, it's all that's left of me? When you look down deep to the pit of my heart, can you find the weakest link? With your laurel wreath and my broken teeth, I ain't never gonna be just your friend. Is there another lover there in your room? Does he know about me? Can there really be any doubt that from here on out, this debris, it's all that's left of me? only interest you ever had in love was to see it broken down. Pretend that you're smarter and burn me to the ground. Well, is there another lover there in your room? And does he even know about me? This debris, it's all that's left of me.
Thank you. Pulling out all the stops for you, Jimmy. Let's see. Let's see. Oh, here we go. This is, I wrote this song for my kids. I have three kids. All my kids, so great. I'm so thankful. I'm so appreciative, and I'm so lucky. Andrew is my oldest, just moved up to New York City. So when I was up there recently, got to hang out with him and check out his apartment. Oh, wow. My other son, Alex, still in Asheville. And then my daughter, Ruby, in Raleigh. She's about to start NC State coming up soon. So, yeah, anyway. But I was kind of missing them all recently, and I wrote this song.
See what a night tonight could be. I'm thinking about you now that you are gone. Summer's green has turned to gold. The moon and stars all wave hello. They're smiling on you now that you are grown. But I'm gonna miss you now that you're on your own. Can you see me in the back of your mind? How are you? I am fine, but thinking about you all the time. You're gonna make it on your own.
All right. Thanks, y'all. Is that it? Are we out of time?
We're drawing near.
Drawing very
near.
Cool. That was perfectly timed. That was just the right number of songs.
Yeah. Well, cool.
Well, let me pull this mic over. Cool. Greg, cannot thank you enough for being here.
I can't thank
here,
you guys
man.
Enough for giving me this opportunity. Boy, yeah. this is
It's such a treat.
Oh, man, it's a treat to be here with you guys. Like, yeah. This is the right energy. Like, just hanging out with you guys. Got Lou and Jerry here. It's like, yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah, small crew of friends and family.
Yeah, very nice.
And now I know you, as we're wrapping up, we're making room for Jay Boyd and the Perfect Cut. Hey, Jay.
Sweet.
Woo!
Woo!
Yeah. Greg, I know you just played live in Brooklyn in support of nonprofit community radio WFMU and WYXR. What does the future hold? Any gigs on the horizon that we should know about?
Gonerfest is coming up, and I'm going to be playing. I'm playing Gonerfest with a band called the Laundry Bats. I'm the bass player in that band.
Ah, yes.
That's going to be really fun, and I mean, I'm just looking forward to that in general.
Yeah.
Not too many other gigs or anything coming up right now, but I'm working on some new music. been recording, so that's the exciting thing on the horizon for me.
Recording is always, we're always interested to know and hear that you're recording, because that means you're going to be playing out pretty soon after that.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Thank you again for sharing your time and artistry with us. Greg Cartwright, everybody.
Yeah.
Woo! Really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. All right. We're going to shuffle on out of here to make room for Jay Boyd and the Perfect Cut. I want to thank everybody who is here today. Greg Cartwright, Shelby McCall, Jerry and Lulu,
yeah. Thank you so much for swinging by.
And the crowd outside the window. Yeah. All right.
Woo-hoo!
All right. That's Rent Party for July. Thank you for listening. WYXR 91.7 FM in Memphis, where we are raised by sound.